What's up, Open Floor Globe? I'm your host, Michael the Pod Pina, and I'm joined on the other line by my good friend, Sports Illustrated senior writer Chris Herring, who I learned yesterday mutes all the group text message threads he engages with, including the ones I'm in with him. And I say this not to judge you, Chris, but instead to congratulate you on having the power and the discipline to step away from technology and annoying people like myself every day. Bravo to you, sir. How is your day going?
Probably better than yours since you leave your group text notifications on. But I'm good. I just finished, and hopefully they're not listening and they don't hate me for it, but just finished my last class of the year. I teach on the side. I think a lot of people know that. So I just finished my last class of the year, which means I have one portion of my life back, although I love my students, but I just needed the time back to cram all this basketball watching and book stuff in. So very, very good mood. A little tired, but good mood. Very good mood.
Also, congratulations on that. Also, I wanted to congratulate you and everyone who has ever attended the University of Michigan for defeating the Ohio State Buckeyes. Chris, I just want to give you the floor for a brief time, not too long. This is a basketball podcast, but this is a long time coming for you, and I feel really happy for you. And my wife went to University of Michigan. Saturday was a very joyous day in this country.
It was a very joyous day for us in this country. There's always an us and a them. this was an us day. But we're going to take every opportunity we can to enjoy this one, partly because Michigan basketball, it's like a sliding scale with these two sports, man. Like they can't both be good at the exact same time or both be great. So if it looks like maybe it's a football school again for now. I'm sure Juwan Howard will get it on track. Young team, but yeah, I am still on cloud nine from it. I actually had plans to go. A friend of mine, it's rare that I go to games as like a fan, or not even a fan, but just like as a spectator and not a reporter. But one of my friends has season tickets to the Bucks. He actually lives here in Chicago. My birthday will be Saturday, so he was like, "Do you have any plans Saturday? I'm gonna take you to the Bucks game." And I was like, no, actually, I don't have plans. And then Michigan won the Ohio State game. And so now, Michigan is playing in the Big Ten title game on Saturday. So all of a sudden, I did have plans, but it was like not the plans that I wanted to have because I would much prefer to watch Michigan than watch the Bucks in the heat without Bam Adebayo and possibly Jimmy Butler. So my friends are so wonderful because he texted like a day or two after the Ohio State game. He was like, hey man, I just want to check back in. Like, we don't have to go to the Milwaukee game if you don't want to. Like, I know they're playing at the same time as Michigan. And I was like, read my mind. Like, I didn't want to be the bad guy. It's so nice that someone wants to do something for my birthday, but it's one of those friends I've had for 20 years at this point, so I could tell him that. More than 20 years, probably almost, probably 25 years or so. But I was so grateful that he realized that on his own, so I didn't have to like back out of something just to be able to watch a Michigan football game. But what sense does it make to watch every brutal Michigan, Indiana, Michigan Northwestern football game if you can't then enjoy the time when they actually make the Big Ten title game or actually clinch a playoff spot for the first time? So thankful that he, all the things I'm thankful for after Thanksgiving, this is at the top of the list. That I have friends that are smart enough to realize when they need to let their friends just have a day to themselves to watch Michigan football.
That's wonderful. Congratulations to you once again. And I really like how you managed to tie the NBA into that response. That was very impressive of you, Chris.
I'm on my game.
You most certainly are. Today, we have a jam-packed, super fun episode to get to. Before we do, a quick reminder to keep those emails coming in to openfloormail@gmail.com. That's openfloormail@gmail.com. Also, I want people's text and DM mute habits in those emails. People, please let me know. I don't know why I'm fascinated by this topic, but I am. Anyway, let's start the show. So, Chris, with several teams really going through it right now in the NBA, I wanted to check in with five of them to kind of just see how screwed they actually are. And in other words, we are seeing if the panic button is necessary. So I'm going to say a team, and I want you to tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, everything is fine, and 10 being the GM and the coach have permanent 5 o'clock shadows and are currently smoking multiple packs of cigarettes a day, just how troubled they really are. So I shared all five teams with you last night in our outline, but due to some late breaking news here, right before we're recording on this Thursday afternoon, we're going to add a sixth team real quick. And that sixth team we're going to talk about first, it is the Milwaukee Bucks. It was just announced that Brooke Lopez, who has not played basketball in a very long time, has undergone back surgery. And that's big news because they are the defending champions. He has been a critical piece for them in just how they've wanted to play basketball, particularly on the defensive end. He complements Giannis so well. They do not win the title without Brooke Lopez last year. So just what's your snap reaction to hearing that Brooke Lopez had back surgery? And there's no timetable yet, but he could be out the rest of the season. I don't know.
It's obvious that that's huge. They have built largely a whole defensive plan around him for the last few years, which, that's without even thinking about what he adds on the offensive end when he really has it rolling. It was just late last season in the playoffs where he had a massive Brooke Lopez game when Giannis was out of the lineup, which helped him get into the finals in the first place. So he has the ability to be hugely impactful, and there's no way around that. You would hope that you can get him back. There are some statistics that indicate that they're fine without him. I think I read a statistic today. I can't remember where I saw it, so I apologize for not being able to cite it. But I think with their big three being, Giannis, Middleton, and Drew, that they're 10-0 this season. They've obviously been really hot lately. So it's just a matter of them being healthy. But I would certainly include Brooke Lopez as one of those guys. You're going to get a lot of Bobby Portis without Brooke Lopez. And
Bobby.
Yeah, we're going to see if the mayoral chants continue, without Brooke Lopez being there. He's a very, very solid role player, very important role player. But sometimes guys are perfect in their role, and asking them to kind of expand beyond that kind of creates chaos. And Brooke, again, you cannot build a defensive scheme around Bobby Portis. You can do it with Brooke Lopez. It's worked like a charm. It's worked like a charm against James Harden several times in the last few years. Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, you would really hope that, he can be back by the playoffs if you need him. You're going to need him. And I don't know exactly what the team's ceiling is. I mean, I could see them winning without him, maybe, but you feel way more comfortable having him available and healthy. So I certainly worry about this team, not so much for the regular season, but for the playoffs if you don't have him.
Yeah, so to build on that stat you had, they're 10-0 with Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis playing together, and lineups with those three guys in them are plus 20.4. That's their net rating. So that's like they're just killing everybody. I kind of thought that this was going to happen, honestly, when I saw that they signed Boogie Cousins. And I was like, oh, why would the Milwaukee Bucks? Because there were some positive reports, I think, a couple weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, about Brooke Lopez potentially returning back to lineup. Clearly, those were premature. And when you sign DeMarcus Cousins, it's like, okay, something's going on with Brooke Lopez here. So it didn't totally catch me off guard. It still stinks. But at the same time, I always thought with the Milwaukee Bucks that there was this post-Brooke Lopez iteration where Giannis played a ton of minutes at the five, and they switched a ton, or Giannis could blitz, Giannis can drop, Giannis can do whatever he wants at the five, guarding ball screens and just being this ridiculous help defender. Their defense has been tremendous this season. So, and they're playing Giannis at the five a lot. They're playing really small. They play this Giannis plus like four guard lineup that is obliterating everybody. Pat Connaughton plays a little bit bigger than his height. Grayson Allen plays a little bit bigger than his height. Drew Holiday is one of the most versatile defenders in basketball. He's tremendous. Chris Middleton's a really good defender. Bobby Portis, I'm never going to say anything bad about Bobby Portis for the rest of my career slash life. So I think they'll be okay there. but I just think that, like, I'm still high on this team, actually. So if we were, like, for the purpose of this exercise, like, we're going to attribute numbers to, like, a 1 to 10 scale here for the Bucks, I would say, honestly, like, 3. Like, I'm just not that worried, and that's no disrespect to Brooke Lopez, but I'm just really high on the Bucks right now. Like, I think they look terrific how they are, and there is that also that element with Brooke Lopez where, you know, he's dropping against certain matchups and just getting torched, like, in that Nets series. Like, I don't think we would look at this injury the same if they never got to the conference finals and he never had that game against the Hawks, because Kevin Durant was just raining these pull-up twos over
Good
him
point.
In those drop Good coverages. Point. So I'm a 3. What are you here with the Bucks?
I'll go a 4, but when it comes to playoff time where you might get matchups where you don't have Kevin Durant on the court, where you can just completely kill him and take him off the court, I do think it becomes impactful. I mean, we think about it. We saw Šarić getting knocked out of the finals really impact that series when they had to go to Kaminsky. Like you said, with Brooke, one series where he's not impactful, another one where he really is. So it's situational, and I think even if you don't play him full-time or you're not using him a lot, being able to steal minutes with him for certain matchups just to provide a different look, I think it really will hurt them if he's not there. So I'll say 4 for right now. You know, I think 3 is perfectly reasonable just given that they're rolling right now. But I do think that it will have a much bigger impact on the playoffs if they don't have him back.
Okay, let's move on from Milwaukee. Let's go to the next team here that I have. And it's the Miami Heat. So earlier this week, Bam Adebayo injured his right hand and he had surgery in a loss against the Denver Nuggets. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. That's possibly 20 games without their all-star center, who's just so fundamental to how they play on both ends of the floor. In the short term, Miami is also, as you said earlier, Jimmy Butler. He's dealing with a tailbone injury that's expected to keep him out of the lineup through the weekend. Miami is in fifth place right now, but they're only 2 games up on the 11th-seeded Sixers. How worried are you right now about the Miami Heat? Give me a number, Chris.
3.
That's probably
feels low. Here's my thing. And unless you're really concerned, and I know you just gave the number about them being, you know, 2 games up. Of all the teams that I really don't worry about as far as seeding, there's probably 3 or 4 of them in the East. And I would put Miami as one of those 3 or 4 that I don't really care where they finish as long as they make the playoffs, which they will. And as long as you feel like they will, I'm not worried about that. Now, I think for this streak that they've got, you know, for however long Bam will miss, it does become really interesting if he misses 4 weeks versus 6, because their schedule's not that bad at the front of it. When you get to that 6-week stretch, though, you start getting into games against Golden State, Phoenix. You would have Atlanta a couple of times in that window. Mm-hmm. So they could, I mean, depending on how long Jimmy is out, they really did not look good last night, by the way, without either of them. So depending on how long Jimmy is out and it takes them to get them back, if they can get Jimmy back in a reasonable amount of time and he looks himself without Bam, I'm not totally worried. I mean, you do certainly want to see Keith and Jimmy and Bam out there. You know, Lowry is still relatively new to this team. So you want them to have some cohesiveness and everything. But because this is a team that I'm really mostly worried about, you know, just are they healthy for the playoffs? You know, I'm not totally concerned about it from a seeding standpoint. What I'm more worried about right now and just kind of the state of the team is, like, Duncan Robinson can't be out there just getting cardio work in 20-minute stretches. This man he was 0 for 7 last night, 0 for 6 from 3, no points. No rebounds, no assists.
The streak is over. The streak is over for Duncan Robinson, who'd made a million.
Yeah,
he made at least 1 3 in a million straight games, so that's over.
Yeah, bruh, like nothing. I mean, he posted zeros. I think he had like a steal in those 20 minutes, and that was it. And I mean, at some point, you imagine he has to shoot better. I see people making the joke on Twitter like, oh man, he's not a pro basketball player anymore. He's a podcaster now, and he's kind of playing like it. Like, shout out to Duncan because he's a Michigan guy. You know, it's all love from that standpoint. He did very well for Michigan, but holy hell.
I knew
that
was coming.
It's funny. I expected these to all be like career low numbers. This is like what he did as a rookie. So he's got to do better than this. I'm sure he will. Most guys that go through slumps like this at the beginning of a season snap out of it and shoot better. I mean, we know how good a shooter he is and can be. It'll be interesting to see whether he can snap out of it with all these guys out of the lineup, because I don't know if he can, just given that teams will be able to throw more at him, given all the other guys they're missing. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm not worried about him yet, but, you know, you certainly want those guys out there because they're probably one of the least – I don't know. They've got a lot of pieces in there that you'd like to kind of get more acquainted with each other as far as with Lowry and different guys that are going to be handling the ball that you'd really like to have them out there. You don't want to lose so much ground to where you're having to play the Nets in the first round if you don't have to. So I'm not totally worried about seeding, but if they do slip really far, it does start to get a little bit more dicey for them where they've got a really, really tough first round matchup instead of something like a 3 versus a 6 or something like that.
Is there any possibility that they miss the playoffs? When I say playoffs, I mean the play in as well. Because like, I don't think this is going to happen.
Me neither.
I do think that Bam is. I mean, the on off numbers don't indicate this. Like, they're much better when Bam is not on the floor, which is weird. And I don't really know how to explain that, frankly, but. The Raptors are only a few games below them. They're, like, in 13th. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to build an argument that I don't even believe. So let's just – I can't even go there. They're going to make the playoffs.
I'm not worried about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point by you, though. Like, also, the seeding really is kind of besides the point with this team. There's just so much talent. There's so much experience. They're not going to get flustered. I think that they'll have confidence in any series, whether it's the Nets, the Bucks, whoever, with Jimmy healthy, with Bam healthy, with Kyle Lowry healthy, with Tyler Hero continuing to play as well as he's played. I think they'll be fine. In the meantime, you know, they're going to have to play Dwayne Dedmon a lot. And it's really interesting just because they love to switch everything on defense because of Bam. They can't really do that anymore. Right. And so, you know, with Dedmon, they love to blitz ball screens. Dedmon will anchor their zone, their 2-3 zone, their 1-2-1 zone. And, you know, it'll just be interesting to see how sustainable all that is on the defensive end for them. And the other option there is you play PJ Tucker at the 5, and I don't really know. I think PJ Tucker can do that, and then you can switch a little bit more. But at this point in his career, I don't know how many minutes you want to be playing PJ Tucker at the 5 against certain matchups, you know?
Save his body. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know. I think that this is – it just stinks. Obviously, you lost an all-star. Bam Adebayo is so good. He's so irreplaceable. He's so unique. And I kind of wonder also, going back real quick to the Bucks. Like, how jealous the Heat are that the Bucks signed DeMarcus Cousins. Like, I don't think DeMarcus Cousins is Will Chamberlain, but he would have been a pretty interesting fit down there if, like, for the next 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is. And I watched the DeMarcus Cousins debut against the Hornets the other night, last night.
Me too.
And he looked fine. Like, he looked pretty good. So, I don't
know.
It's
really
funny you say that.
It's really funny you say that, because I was watching him and I'm like, man, this dude isn't getting very good lift. And then I remembered, I'm like, oh, it's DeMarcus Cousins. He's never really gotten really good lift. I've even talked to him about that. He's like, man, you could just say it. I can't jump, which I love that dude for just being so self-aware. But yeah, and no, he looked fine yesterday. I wanted to shout out Bam really quickly for the performance against Denver when he had injury in the first place. Because,
ridiculous.
You know, we've heard about it before. I remember Rondo had the game where he, like, tore his ACL and was playing through it, or had the partial tear of his ACL, played through it. Bam tore, was it the ulnar ligament in his thumb, and played through it, and he was 3 for 3 in the second half from mid-range on, like, a torn thumb ligament. Like, what?
Like, this dude, in clear pain. Like, he was holding his right hand, like, behind his back on defense because he didn't want the ball, like, he couldn't involve it. And he was still hitting jump shots. It was like, you are indestructible. Let's look at
this man's stats. This man was 9 of 12 in the second half, 3 of 3 from jumpers, went 28-3 in the second half of the game where he tore his thumb in the first half, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Legend.
Like, that dude, I don't want to hear anything about that dude negative for the rest of the year. Just won't hear it. Won't hear anything about it.
That's so crazy. I guess if I'm ascribing a number, I'm going, what did you do? What did you say? Like
three.
Okay. I'm going to go 5. I'm not like panicking at all. I think that he's just so unique to how they play. And then you add in this Jimmy Butler thing. Yeah. And you add in the age of everybody else who's important. And there's no saying that Kyle Lowry won't sprain his ankle and miss 2 weeks either. You know what I mean? So
that's fair.
Another injury could happen, and then, you know, that would be trouble. And also, like, touching on Duncan Robinson for 2 seconds, that's like, not – I mean, I'm sure he will break out of it, but – there's a lot of guys who shot the ball well over the past 2 seasons, these 2 really weird seasons, who are not shooting the ball well this year. And the circumstances of the past 2 seasons are very different from the circumstances of this season. And so you wonder sometimes with some guys what is real. I think Duncan is for real. I'm not saying he isn't. But that's just something to keep an eye on because he is shooting like 31% behind the three-point line. And Bam is so important to getting him those looks. Their DHO partnership is one of the most dynamic in the league. So this is not good news for Duncan Robinson either, Bam's injury. So something to keep an eye on. Okay, Chris. This team we have talked about many times, but there was some news involving them and just taking a bad situation and making it worse. We're, of course, talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James has COVID, so get well soon, LeBron. That's terrible. He's in the health and safety protocol, so he's going to miss at least 10 days of action. And then obviously you need to ramp up physically, and he'll be a little bit deconditioned from that. He's not able to really do anything right now physically. So the Lakers, I don't really know, I think I probably hit the panic button on this, like, 5 games into the season. Like, where are you at right now with the Lakers and where they're
I expected to be higher than this. Maybe I'm just really chill person. I don't know what this says about me, because I've been essentially having my hand hovering over the panic button all year on them as well. I went 7 with the Lakers, which okay. I feel like you could be higher than that. I think some people would be. There are certain things I've seen lately that make me a little bit less concerned, but I went 7. You want me to walk you through why?
Can you please tell me what did you just say? There's some things you saw that actually have you feeling good about them?
Yeah, a little bit. Not much. I mean, it's the Lakers, but a little bit. So, I mean, the main thing that I feel better about, I mean, shouldn't be rocket science. I mean, each time we hop on this podcast to talk about how ridiculous the Lakers are and how ridiculous they look, we're normally harping on Russ, who has looked better lately, who has played better lately. I mean, he's starting to turn a corner. He's shooting the ball a little bit better. I think he's had 26 games in a row. You know, to what extent all of that is that he's back. And, you know, he's had this thing the last few years now where he starts every season really slowly, then starts to pick it up midway through, two-thirds of the way through, whatever it is. I don't think it was quite this early last season that he did it. But he starts to pick it up a little bit and find his legs. I mean, that obviously is a massive thing. Now, is that something that is sustainable, that will be the case once LeBron is back and in the lineup? You kind of need it to be. And if it is the case, and if he shoots the ball a little bit better than he was before and, you know, can play off the ball decently, which we're dealing with a lot of ifs at this point, then okay, they're going to be okay. Honestly, you know, I said there are a few things I was pointing to that I felt good about. I lied. I guess it's probably just that. The things I continue to feel bad about, or one of the things I felt good about that now feel bad about, Talen Horton Tucker, bruh, this man was like a godsend when he came back, you know, what was it, 10, 11 games into the season, 12 games in the season. I mean, he's shooting like Russ, bruh, like was. He's shooting like Russ was shooting now. I mean, he's been brutal at this point. What are we at? 27% and 5.5 points per game over his last seven. He was shooting 49% and averaging 23 points per game over his first three games back. Not the greatest timing because Carmelo Anthony has also regressed to the mean.
Surprise.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the other thing that is a little bit concerning is we talk about the Brook Lopez stuff. And I feel like we've been seeing a lot of this year. I guess it always happens a little bit, but we've seen a lot of it lately. This stuff about, like, guys that are waiting in the wings to come back, and then it's like, oh, they've had a setback. And Kendrick Nunn, you know, we've talked about him at length as being a guy that they'll be able to plug back into their rotation and have. It doesn't sound like he's anywhere near coming back yet. The Lakers have been kind of honest about that and open about that. Ariza was someone who... you know, still isn't back, but it sounds like he's closer. But I think what we're learning now, whether it's like people that have had COVID with Embiid and really him struggling, or just, you know, Lopez and other guys like that. Zion is another guy that just had another apparent setback with his rehab. Not anything serious seemingly, but at this point I'm done taking these teams' word for it. And I think that's kind of what I'm saying is, like, we can't make these blanket assumptions about how much it helps a team right when someone gets back, when they haven't played basketball in this long. And so the Lakers, I think that even with Ariza, like, we can't assume these guys are going to be the best versions of themselves. And even if we do, what does the best version of, like, 36 or 37 years old look like for a team like the Lakers when everybody else is that old as well? So there's that. Not to mention that as we talk about Talen Horton Tucker or Russ just snapping out of what he was in, Anthony Davis still is basically, like, the worst three-point shooter in the league at this point. I mean, like, he's just not shooting well, and a lot of people kind of sounded the alarm on that after the finals a couple years ago, where he basically became like a center's version of J.J. Redick from 5 years ago, you know? And now it's like he's basically, everybody's kind of morphing into Russ. Like, Russ is regaining his shooting strength or whatever. I don't know if you could say regain. Like, he's getting some of his shooting strength back, and everybody else is like shooting like Russ was earlier in the year. I don't know what to make of any of that, but, like, there's still a lot of stuff not to feel great about. Even the guys they have on the mend, I don't think you can definitively say, like, oh, they'll be better. They probably will be better, but I don't know if it'll be good enough. So I'm still concerned. None of this even gets to the point about, like, when you get Bron back, how you get LeBron back. Are we just at a point now where, like, I get this is COVID, so it's not an injury. But, you know, at this point, like, you kind of felt like you wanted and needed these guys healthy to make a run. And if LeBron is only going to play, at this point we're a quarter of the way through the season and he's missed more than half the games. So, I mean, he's already missing a good chunk of time, and that's without Davis having, you know, really missed much time yet, but Davis not playing well. So you need a lot of things to go right in this season. I don't know if they need to go right all in the regular season, but it's just, it has not been the most encouraging stretch, even as you see Russ shooting the ball better, which you needed to happen to have any shot of anything happening this year.
Russ is shooting the ball a little bit better, but he's still just a turnover machine. He's still not finishing at the basket at all, which is not great. I don't know. Like, when I watch this team, it's just I always come back to the same thing. So I have a very difficult time talking about them and saying things that are fresh. But, like, our colleague Chris Mannix wrote this column about how Frank Vogel should not be to blame for the situation that the Lakers find themselves in. And part of me agrees, because in my opinion, the blame is on who traded for Russell Westbrook, period, point blank.
But part of you disagrees too, right?
But part of me disagrees just in the sense that, yeah, I'm like, you know, we gotta expel DeAndre Jordan from the rotation. We might have to, I know we can't do it now because LeBron's out, but we might have to expel Dwight Howard temporarily from the rotation, at least when Trevor Ariza gets back too. And we got to play LeBron at the five. We got to play AD at the five. That's what we need to do with our rotation. And we need to play, you know, offensively Westbrook at the five. That's like, that's how we're going to get this thing going, I feel like, in my opinion, because it's just not worth it defensively to have these two bigs on the floor, in my opinion. And the offense is just so atrocious, and they want to play fast, but they really can't get enough stops to play fast. And then you have guys on the floor who are trying to space like Melo or Malik Monk, and these guys, they just can't stay in front of anybody when you watch them play. So I don't really have anything new to say about this team. I think, yeah, you know, LeBron getting COVID stinks for a lot of different reasons. I love watching him play still. I've been frustrated, I think, just aesthetically watching the entire team play this year. And, you know, watching them try to figure things out is kind of fascinating just because of the names and the wattage of the Los Angeles Lakers. And yeah, so I mean, if I had to say, what am I, you know, like, expectations factor into how much I think you should panic. And so this is championship or bust for the Lakers. Like, is that still fair to say, right? This is championship or bust.
I mean, LeBron is how old? LeBron will be 37 at the end of this month. So everything they're doing is championship or bust. Having effing LeBron on your roster is championship or bust.
Yes. Agree.
Period.
So
I mean, let alone Anthony Davis, let alone Russ. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So in that sense, I'm going 9 here for panic if I'm the Lakers. Just taking everything into account, I mean, there's a possibility. I don't think they'll miss the play-in tournament because just because the teams that are like outside of the 10 seed right now are the Spurs, the Kings, the Thunder, the Pelicans, and the Rockets. So I don't think the Lakers are going to fall below any of those teams ultimately as the season rolls along. But I also think that, you know, they're not going to finish with a top 6. Like, I think they're headed to the play-in. And in the play-in, anything can happen. So that's really bad. And then you have to play in the first round the Suns or the Warriors or the Jazz. So it's just like,
yep.
Yeah, I'm panicking if I'm a member of the Lakers organization right now or one of their fans. Okay, move. Do you have anything else to say about the Lakers?
Nope. I mean, I'm with you, honestly. Like, I think part of the reason I spent so much time on the fact that Russ was playing a little bit better is because there's so one, like I said, I feel like we've been harping on him all year. I think rightfully so. But two, it's a team where there's just not much new to say. And I'm glad you brought up the point about Vogel. Shout out to Chris, you know, a teammate of ours. But I don't think you have to take an all or nothing approach with kind of whether or not it's Frank's fault. I've been kind of underwhelmed with what he's done with the roster that he has. It's not a great roster. It's not a roster I would have wanted given what they could have done with it, but I also don't quite understand some of the rotation choices he's making. So it's kind of, yeah, it doesn't seem like they're panicking from that standpoint in terms of the rotations they're running out there, because I would be doing something different, but it would not be that. It would not be the lineups they've been using.
I guess the last thing I'll say before we move on, the last question that's Lakers related that I'll pose, is Frank Vogel the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers by the All-Star break?
Yes, I think so. I think so, personally.
Okay.
Can I just say this? Like, I don't know the exact structure of his deal. So he got an extension that took him through what, the end of this year? Or was it like the end of next year?
I believe it's the end of next year. I'd have to double check.
So here's my thing. I get that it's not apples to apples, but if the Lakers, if part of their issue is, you know, you keep hearing this from their fans that are very tired of being punched in the stomach about the Caruso thing and the luxury tax. If you're not going to pay Caruso whatever it would have cost you to go above the luxury tax, which, by the way, I think we said a couple podcasts ago, yes, it would have been a big luxury tax payment, but it also they would have been paying it one way or the other, whether it was Caruso or some of the other moves they were making to go into that tax. Guess what you also pay a lot of money to do in this league? depending on how you've structured contracts, to fire people. You pay money to do that too. Presumably, you're going to have to hire someone at the end of this year. Probably not midseason. I don't imagine the Lakers will bring in someone completely different from outside the organization. But like, it costs money to fire people that don't have jobs lined up right away. Like, so I it's not this like broke franchise. I mean, it's also the Lakers. We don't even need to really spend time discussing that. But I don't know. I think he will still be there. Who knows? Maybe that factors into it, that they're really not trying to spend the extra money, which, again, is wild to say as we talk about the LSUs and the Notre Dames and the USCs, and then there's the Lakers, and mm-hmm. like the idea that the Lakers wouldn't have the money to pay whatever they want to. Maybe not. I get that it's a different business model than some of the other organizations, a lot of the other organizations, but I don't know. To me, if Vogel's not there, granted, he's making mistakes rotation-wise, in my opinion, but I just think that that's a really weird sort of thing to point to say, like, we're not getting it done, and here's why. We're going to axe this guy. And I just would not see the point in doing that. I don't think it's so off the rails from that standpoint at all. I just don't. I just think that the roster is really deficient in a lot of ways that a lot of us saw coming before the season ever started.
So, just to double back really quick, his extension secures him through 2022-2023. So
the end of next year, next season.
Correct. Yes, okay. I completely forget what year we are existing in.
It's because we had two seasons that existed in 2020, which really throws me off, too. Don't even worry about it. I still get that confused, and it's really... I can't wait to get past this calendar year because it's been throwing me the hell off for like a year and a half now. Anyway,
yes.
Neither here nor there.
Okay. Okay, so no more Lakers talk. I personally think that David Fizdale will be the head coach when they lose in the play-in tournament, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's we'll have that conversation when it happens.
We'll have to.
Our next team, the New York Knicks. So, earlier this week, it was revealed and announced by Tom Thibodeau that Kemba Walker, who was the big offseason addition to this team, he's been exercised from the rotation. Julius Randle has predictably reverted back to who he was, I think, in a lot of ways as a basketball player from the All-NBA season that he had last year. RJ Barrett, who we infamously left off of our top 100 list, is significantly worse than he was a year ago, or at least not better, which is not what you want from someone that young who you drafted third overall. Their offense has been atrocious of late. Defense is trending back up towards where it was last year, but is still below league average. What are your thoughts about the Knicks right now and just like the state of where they're at as an organization?
So, first of all, shout out to you. I remember this was kind of a point, not contention, because neither one of us was ready to throttle each other over it, but which is good because we like each other, right, Michael?
yes, we do.
You know, I was someone that was more bullish on the Knicks going into the season. I thought that what they did was useful. I think they're still finding that Fournier is useful from one game to the next sometimes. Kemba was the exception. Kemba was shooting above 40% from three and still not really productive, which tells you a ton about the way he was defending, which tells you a ton about the way the ball was moving when he was part of the offense, or what tells you a lot with him and Fournier in the backcourt together, which is kind of what you and Celtics Nation was saying all along. So between that and between the stuff about Randle and whether or not like that he had a hard regression coming at some point, it's still early enough this season to where he can do better than this, I think. My thought process with him is that maybe he can survive without having a really nasty regression, because if the offense is better around him, which that was the hope with Kemba and Evan Fournier, so mm-hmm. be it. You know, that he can get easier shots that way. Watching him, he's not even really trying to take easier shots. Like, he really has fallen in love with that corner jumper with the guy draped all over him. He isolates a lot. It's strange because he still is a good enough distributor where he gets his assists. He's in the running for triple-doubles every other night. But he does still take such difficult shots. Like, I don't have access to the second spectrum data anymore, but I guarantee you'd have to be near the top of the league in terms of, like, just the shot difficulty.
The lowest shot quality in basketball, probably. He's up there,
It's got to be up there. I mean, like, it looks that way. And so, I mean, that is somewhere where you are likely to see regression. If you shoot way above expectations 1 year and all of a sudden those shots aren't going in, okay, they were really tough shots. We knew that all along. So I thought his shots would be easier this year, and they just haven't been. I'm still not panicking here. I put them at a 6. For relatively speaking, like, I had the Lakers at a 7. The Knicks were not ever viewed as a championship contender. I do think that they were borderline for a lot of people as far as, like, fringe playoff, play-in. I think most people felt like they'd finish with maybe even potentially more wins than last year, but a lower seed because the East was going to be stronger. I don't think that they'll find themselves outside of the play-in. I think that they'll make the playoffs or the play-in or whatever you want to call it. And like you said, I think that the key thing here is that the team was without an identity during the Kemba run that they had. You know, are they trying to just outscore everybody? Can they stop anybody? Are they a team that they should just flip their bench and their starters because their bench is better than their starters? What is it? Now you start to answer that question a little bit more, and it is a little bit sad. You know, I feel bad for Kemba from that standpoint, a guy that finally gets mm-hmm. to go home and play in front of a fan base that fell in love with him before he was even a Knick, really. But the truth is, pulling him from your rotation, immediately you go from being one of the worst defenses in NBA history with him on the court to being a Warriors equivalent with him off the court, meaning like the best defense in the league. So, I mean, you can potentially get your identity back just by doing that, not to mention that Alec Burks has been a good shooter for them, not just this year, but last year as well, and someone that seemingly moves the ball a little bit too. And so, you know, there are other problems. You mentioned RJ Barrett, which to me is right at the top of that list as far as the problems they've got. He's always been super, super inconsistent from one half to the next, from one hot streak to going to an immediate cold streak. He's always done that. That's going to be a problem for them any way you slice it if it doesn't get fixed or doesn't change. But I do think that, you know, Burks being there instead of Walker, and also the thought process that, like, at some point, I don't think Burks will be enough necessarily for them either to take the next step. But I do think that it's possible that maybe you get a guard, someone wants out of a situation and maybe, you know, clears waivers at some point or buyout or something like that. Maybe you get another guy. I don't know if it's a top-level guy. Probably won't be. But I don't see this really changing their course. Like, I think they're probably like a bottom-of-the-pack playoff team. And now this at least gives them a chance to get back to what their identity was, or at least what we thought their identity was before they added these guys in the offseason. So I'm not panicking just yet. I kind of want to see how they do with Brooks there and Walker's spot.
Well, it's very early in the season, but, you know, we are a podcast that publishes 2 episodes a week, so we have to, overreact in the moment sometimes. Like, is there a possibility here that this team just does not make the playoffs, or do you not see that as realistic?
Let me pull up my standings here, sir. So by that, you're saying, well, is there a chance they finish outside of the top 10, or are you saying, like, the play-in situation?
No, I think they are a play-in team, personally.
Okay.
Because, I look at the top 6 in the conference, and... Yeah. You know, there's a, like, okay, so right now, just for our listeners who do not have the standings in front of them, as we record on a Thursday and the Knicks play the Bulls tonight, RJ Barrett's questionable with that one, and I don't know, I would put money on the Bulls to win that game personally, but in front of them right now in the standings, and the Knicks are in 10th, are the Hornets, Celtics, Hawks, Cavs, Heat, Bulls, Bucks, Wizards, Nets. So, I think that they're a playing team. Long story short, with the Knicks. And so...
it's basically a question of like, do you think the Sixers, do you think the Cavs stick in that top 10? One, do you like the Sixers to jump back into that mix, which they're basically tied with the Knicks. The Knicks, they're a half game behind the Knicks right now. Embiid missed a ton of time with COVID and has admittedly said that like he thought it would take him all the way out, that, you know, he's still gonna, it's gonna take him a while to get back to what he was. And I think, you know, the Raptors are a team that I think can maybe find itself in that conversation. They have not looked good lately, but, you know, the Raptors are there. I think after that, you know, the Pacers are the one other team that would like to make a run here. So it's like, do you think the Knicks will be better than at least two of those teams? And if so, you know, will they finish with a better record than at least two of those teams? And if so, then they'll be in the play-in. And I feel like, probably. I don't know about Philly, but it does become a question of whether Cleveland is for real, which I think if Mobley's there, they are, and I think they can finish there. I think Philly can make it, but, you know, we'll see what happens with Charlotte. We'll see. The fear I have if I'm the Knicks is that you've played, and this is true of the Lakers as well, you've played a pretty soft schedule so far, and I think the fear here is that the schedule gets harder. Does the team improve enough to be able to kind of hold your own with that or not? They've had some games that I think were very close that they easily could have won. That Nets game the other night, there were, you know, I don't really care one way or the other, but there were some pretty awful calls not made in that game where it was a pretty clear double dribble by Durant. You know, I don't know what Julius Randle said to an official, but like to call a technical in the last minute and a half of a game is very, very weird.
He punched his fist in the, like, within 5 feet of the ref's face. Like, you're just going to get a technical.
Okay, so it was something that he did more than what he said, because that I'm not used to seeing text that late, so I did not see that for whatever reason. There's that. You know, there were some other ones, like Harden. Knicks fans were in their bag, man. They were putting together whole clips of, like, you know, four and five plays where they swore Harden had traveled, where there were at least two that looked like pretty clear travels to me. But, you know, whatever. Those games will kind of work themselves out. I feel like you get enough of those games back where you benefit from a call here or there. It's good. I think it'll be closer than I was expecting it was, but I would still be a little bit surprised if the Knicks don't make it. Look, Charlotte might have more talent, just straight up talent, than the Knicks do. Charlotte's still a really young, they're still a really young team, and I was watching them make young mistakes in their game last night against Milwaukee. So whether or not they have what it takes to just kind of, you know, we also saw them just bomb completely in the play-in game last year against, how much they lose to the Pacers by, like 40 or whatever the hell it was. I mean, granted, they had guys out, you know, Hayward being a main one in that game. And, you know, we'll see. But it's still early. You know, the Knicks are going to have a run at some point, whether or not it's enough to get them to a point, place where they're comfortably making the play-in or comfortably avoiding the play-in or whatever. That remains to be seen, but I do have faith that the Knicks will make at least one run where they, you know, they reel off 8 out of 10 at some point. But they're going to, you know, they're going to have to at some point because they're going to have a tough schedule.
Okay. So have I ascribed a number to the Knicks yet? I don't even know if I,
you have
did,
not.
If I did. Okay. I'll say 7 because for me, it's kind of like, If you do not make the playoffs as the Knicks, or you make the play-in and then you lose or whatever, or even if you make the playoffs and you get swept in the first round as an 8 seed or something like that, I just wonder what your long-term path towards, and this is a different conversation, but I wonder what your long-term path towards contention really is, because Randall is, like, he's just not a number one player. And if he's a number two, I don't know what type of number one you need to have it be that Randall can compliment you. So I just think they have a long way to go, I would say, from being okay or competent to title contention. And that's fine. Like, they were in the sewer for most of my life. And to go from the sewer to having playoff games at Madison Square Garden is great. And if they have more playoff games at Madison Square Garden this year or play-in games, then that'll be fun. But, you know, I think that they and their fan base would like a little bit more than that, and I don't know how they get there. So that's why I'm at a 7 there for them. You mentioned the Nets briefly in your response to the Knicks, and that's the next team I want to talk about real quick. We don't have to spend too much time on them. They're in first place. So
yeah.
But the reason why I added them here is James Harden still does not look right. Joe Harris just had ankle surgery. If you watch the Nets, you know, Cam Thomas, their rookie, is in the rotation over Bruce Brown. LaMarcus Aldridge is clearly their third best player. Kyrie Irving, his absence just kind of still hangs over everything. Blake Griffin's out of the rotation. He was playing that bad earlier in the season. Paul Millsap looks very old. And it's just like, you know, coming into the season, I thought they were going to roll. And again, they're in first place. I understand. Their defense has looked pretty good, better than I anticipated. Kevin Durant looks incredible and is an MVP candidate. But if you were talking about championship or bust, this is an obvious championship or bust team, given everything that they gave up to get James Harden. And it's just kind of like, I'm waiting for Harden to string 4 or 5 games together where he looks like the James Harden of old. Haven't seen it yet. He had a putback dunk against the Knicks. And I'm like,
that's the most alive I've seen him look in a long time.
Yes, yes. And so maybe that'll kickstart something for him. He had a great game that night. It came off an atrocious game against the Suns, and I just wrote about James Harden on the site, NSI.com, about his decline, and led the story with, okay, he had this great game against the Knicks. The game before that might have been his worst game of the season. So the inconsistency is a little bit worrisome here. And if he's not a top 10 player, a clear top 5 player, top 5 talent, all NBA player, then this team is in a lot of trouble. Because I don't know when Kyrie Irving's coming back, if Kyrie Irving's coming back, and what type of shape he would be in if he does come back. And so that's why I'm including them here. Am I crazy, Krista? Am I crazy here for including them here?
So grand scale, you know, big scale, no, you're not crazy. I guess I kind of just have them in the same range as the Bucks for now, though. I'm not worried about any of this stuff for right now. They're in first place for right now, despite all those things having gone wrong, which tells you how wide of a margin of error they have for the regular season. The playoffs, though, I mean, you start getting in an area where, again, you're even thinner than you would have been from a star level last year because Kyrie's not there. When it all comes down to it, that's the biggest difference, is that even as far as Blake is concerned, shots are going to be easier when you can have those three guys on the court and Blake with them. Not that there were that many games last year mm-hmm. where you had that, but, I mean, it's just reality. I mean, not to say that that's the only reason Blake looks the way he does. And, by the way, like he, you know, as we talk about Kemba and how much it must hurt to not be able to play in New York and, you know, all the accolades that he was getting for coming back home and, you know, the guy from around the corner that made good. Blake seemed pretty hurt, might be a strong word, but like he seemed pretty blindsided by Steve Nash's decision to pull him from the rotation as well. But I mean, his numbers were just dismal. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. I didn't expect Aldridge to be what he's been so far, but when you spin it to say like, man, he's been their third best player hands down. And he has. And the Joe Harris stuff, yeah, I mean, you kind of convinced me to be more concerned about it than I would. I would probably put them at a 4, but I can't bring myself to be concerned about it. Now, what I'm more concerned with, frankly, is even taking all those things into account, that they're in first place, but they, like, haven't beaten anybody. The best that you can come up with in looking at their schedule so far, they had a win over Washington, which obviously that carries more weight than we realized it would when they won it. And they won a game against Atlanta, who at the time I think was 4-3 or 4-4 or something like that.
Atlanta, by the way, is like the hottest team in the NBA. Like they've been ridiculous.
So it's one of those wins that like looks better in hindsight, but at the time, like everybody was beating Atlanta. So they really haven't beaten anybody. Every other game they've had against like a really good team, I wouldn't necessarily say they've got their ass handed to them, but like there have been cases where that's been true, where they just have not looked good. And so, I mean, to me, that's a bigger concern. It's one that they can obviously iron out later in the year. But when you build teams like this where you're building around three superstars, you're always kind of getting guys that in the moment look like they might be a really great fit, and then you realize, oh, shit, they're not. Because you're more or less auditioning to see how these guys fit around your stars. So it was always going to be some of that. Aldridge has looked fantastic. He obviously got some opportunity to play with them last year. But, you know, we're not looking at a finished version of this team. Just like last year, this time, we weren't looking at a finished version of that team. So we're going to have to see. I mean, but I'm not concerned just yet. But, yeah, because this is championship or bust, if you get to the end of the year and all these things are still problems and Joe Harris never looks right after the surgery, Blake never gets back into the rotation, Aldridge is still your third best player and nobody else is stepping up other than maybe Patty Mills, it does start to become more concerning. Because remember, you and I talked at the beginning of the offseason, and the conversation we were having then is like nobody can beat them. And that all of a sudden they went from being one of the thinnest teams to like one of the deepest. And now all of a sudden it's like, who do they have? So stuff can change really quickly. Kyrie, you know, in that situation, I won't necessarily say Kyrie, is much to blame for that. I'm not worried about it yet, but give it another 2 months if they're still having a lot of these problems. I'm concerned about it at that point for sure.
Yeah, for the season, even though they're in first place, they have a lower net rating than the Chicago Bulls. And I personally look at net rating as more significant than record sometimes, especially this early in the season, if that makes any sense.
Especially because the Bulls have beaten good teams. You know, they look the part,
right?
From that standpoint. They beat Utah. They've beaten the Nets. I mean, they beat the Nets head-to-head. So, I mean, the Bulls have looked the part. I won't say in every single case, but they've looked the part several times and beaten good teams several times. Whereas the Nets, again, you take away that Washington win and it, you know, went over an Atlanta team that was getting beaten regularly early on. It just hasn't been that impressive of a body of work they put together so far.
Yeah, so the Nets in the near future, they have a game on Friday against the Timberwolves, which I will be attending. Very much looking forward to watching Anthony Edwards in person.
Awesome.
And then the next night they have a back-to-back against the Bulls. And, you know, this, I keep coming back to Harden. He's just so fascinating to me this season. And he looks so good against the Knicks, but then you like look at how many days off there were between that night and their previous game. And it's like, I want to see Harden on the second night of a back-to-back against the Bulls, against Lonzo, Caruso, that defense, like, torch them. That's what I want to see. Then I'll be like, okay, I think Harden is back and I'm feeling more confident. So for right now, if I have to give a number, I would say 6 right now. Knowing that this team can still make some trades, will still be attractive to buyout candidates, and their roster today will most likely not look like what it will on the first day of the playoffs. I'm going to say a 6 right now with the Nets.
Got you. Okay.
Okay, so we have one more team here, and in the grand tradition at Open Floor that started earlier this week, the team is the Portland Trailblazers, and we are going to throw it to our producer, Shelby, for the... Shelby, the Rip City Royston report. Shelby, I'm just going to throw it to you. Shelby's got this just tremendous sound of.
You're saying?
Okay, so Shelby, you are the MVP of this podcast. The floor is yours. I want you to just tell me, from a scale of 1 to 10, you know, there was news earlier this week that Damian Lillard will miss at least 10 days after an MRI confirmed lower abdominal lower abdominal tendinopathy. And he's obviously their best player. And, you know, the Blazers are having an up and down season. So right now, Shelby, scale of 1 to 10, just how panicked are you and how panicked should this organization be right now?
Right now, I'm at a 2. After...
A 2? Yeah. Okay.
After the big win over the Pistons the other night, in which somebody obviously listened from the team... Since Ben McLemore got in and just started playing like a vintage Duncan Robinson. This is what we've been wanting the whole season. Put in Mac. I'm at the Moda Center. I hear, put in Mac. That's all they want, and they finally have to.
So, I saw the box score from that win. I did not watch the game, Shelby, but I saw Ben McLemore, and I got excited because you're right. Someone clearly within the Portland Trailblazers organization listens to this podcast, and
if they'd like to send me,
maybe it's Chauncey.
If they'd like to send me one of those gorgeous quarter zip pullovers the coaches wear, I mean, that would be a great showing of goodwill from the team. Connect with maybe Michael or Chris on social. We can swap an address, perhaps.
The message is out. I hope it is received. So Shelby, only a 2. You don't care. You're not worried about this Dame injury, even though he, you know, this has been lingering since the Olympics for him.
I'm not really sure what the injury means. I mean, you could barely pronounce it, but I mean, I think with 10 days is a long time to recover. So. I think CJ was going to step up too. Like, he, remember when he was hurt the bubble season? Before they got into the bubble, CJ stepped up, was averaging like 30, 35. So, no worries there.
That was when he had like the fractured back or whatever.
Well, Dame was hurt at some point, like in that season. Remember, they were like, then he had like 60 point. Before that, like CJ, he was like, hey, I'm next man up. Give me the ball. No problem here.
Okay, so can I give my number? Can I barge into the Rip City Royston report for a second, Shelby? Do I have your permission? Okay, I would say 6 is my panic here for Portland, just because, like, I don't really know where the Portland Trailblazers are going right now. I'm sorry, I don't even know honestly, like, what Dame's, like, what his trade value is. Like, I it's obviously very attractive to any team that would want him, but he's had a troubling season, and this injury does not help. So at some point, it feels like he will need to be traded from this organization. I don't know when that will be. But yeah, I'm going 6. Chris, what do you think?
Wow. So we've had 5 teams, 6 actually, with the Bucks, and I've had a lower level of concern than you with every one of them. I'm going to go with the 5, but part of this was me trying to think what the Blazers think, because Lord knows they haven't given a damn about concern, because they haven't moved anybody meaningful off that roster in like 5-6 years. So from my vantage point, I'm going to go with the 5. The way I view it, much of what you probably wanted to happen with this team has happened. Anthony Simons has taken a nice step. Powell has been incredible a lot of the time, very, very efficient. You're essentially keeping your head above water, despite the fact that Dame was like unrecognizably bad to start the season. And he had started to turn it around before this injury getting worse, or this injury cropping back up, or whatever you'd want to call it. But again, The same problem that we see every year with this team, with the exception of like one of these years in the last 6 years. Shocker, their defense sucks. Like, stunningly, nobody could have seen that coming. New coach, same problems. It just gets old because the roster is stale for the most part. Like, we know that. It was dreaming that, you know, it was at best a dream that this team would be substantially different than what it has been. You basically need Dame to go even more supernova than he has, because you're putting the same players around him every year with the same deficiencies every year. So their defense is bad. They're going to have an above average offense. It's going to be Dame and CJ. We know that. What else? You know, there's nothing else. So the only real benefit, you assume Dame will get healthy. The schedule will get easier for them. They've had one of the tougher schedules in the league. So they'll do that thing where they have a really hot run once Dame is back. They always do that. I'm just bored of it. And it frankly, like, I'm putting 5 because it's like the most middle-of-the-road number you can find. And this is like the most middle-of-the-road team I can find that has a star on it, superstar on it. And, you know, and even with that, they don't even have a healthy superstar right now because he's going to be out for a while. So it's just frustrating, but I don't – like, for me, panic, urgency, they haven't shown urgency or panic in the last 5 years. So, like, why show it now other than the fact that Dame might be looking to go somewhere else? Unless that's happening, which they don't show any urgency about that either, so what the hell? 5 it is.
So their next 4 games are Spurs, Celtics, Clippers, Warriors, and without Dame, also Nasir Little, who sprained his ankle.
Yeah.
You could easily lose all 4 of those games, like easily. So interesting times in Portland. Shelby, are there any closing words on the Rip City Royston report for today's show?
Just want to know what time you wanted to meet at Barclays on Friday. Like, are you someone who's getting there for, like, shoot around, or should I buy food? Or, like, what was, did you want to eat before?
I'm expensive when I'm at Barclays. I eat my dinner at the concourse, and it is very pricey. I get multiple things. So if you're buying, then we can do that. Right before tip off, you let me know, and we can go from there. How does that sound?
You know what? Since it's around the holidays, I'm buying.
Beautiful. Okay.
Damn. Can I go too?
Sorry.
You have, what are you like? You got to prep for the Michigan. Who are they even playing, Chris? Just to bring this all full circle.
Iowa. Yeah.
Wow. That's very exciting. Sorry.
It didn't sound exciting at all. But, yeah, Iowa's offense is not much, but they scare me defensively. Michigan should win, but I'm scared just because if you're a Michigan fan that's gone this long without winning anything significant in football and you're not scared now that they have a chance to do it, you're, like, you're on medication that is, like, putting you to sleep artificially, because I don't know how you're not freaking out the way I am. Even when you beat Ohio State, you still have to be scared.
On that note, I think that'll do it for today's show. I want to apologize to a couple emailers who we were supposed to read on today's show that we will have to hold over for next week's episode. Christine and Thaddeus, loyal listeners, wonderful emailers. Thanks for sending those in. We will hit those on the next show. And everyone else, please keep the emails flowing to openfloormail@gmail.com. That's openfloormail@gmail.com. Everybody, please stay safe and please continue to enjoy the NBA season. Whoa.